Could we turn to the book of Romans, please? The book of Romans, a wonderful book, and there's so much in Romans. Some have said that Romans is the actual pinnacle of God's Word in the New Testament, and chapter 8 is the highest of the high. Well, I don't know enough about God's Word to actually say one way or the other, but there are some things wonderful that we enjoy, and in fact, there are no experts on God's Word. Really, there isn't. Yeah, God's Word, the Bible, contains the mind of God, and there's no expert on God except God. So, and we have to be humble when we approach God's Word, and some of us sometimes find ourselves over our head when we get into God's Word, and the Holy Spirit reveals unto us so many different things, and sometimes it could almost make your heart spin, but it always spins closer to God when that happens. So we get into God's Word, and we sometimes have to pick things out that strike us sometimes. And one of the things that struck me, and for some time, for years, in fact, it's been years, in Romans chapter 8, and we've already opened in prayer, so I'm not forgetting to ask God for help. We certainly need a lot of help. If you approach God's Word in a humble way, God will help. He always does. In fact, it's what we're going to talk about, really. God's Word, chapter 8 in Romans, and verse 15. Romans 8:15. And it's an interesting verse. There's a similar verse over in Galatians. We'll look at it too, perhaps. But here's what it says. Well, let's start at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, that, of course, applies to the ladies, the men and women. Sons is a generic term meaning relationship. Sons of God, children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now that, avoid the suspense, we'll turn to, keep your finger in Romans, but turn to Galatians, please. And it's also in another part of God's Word, and it's actually spoken to a bunch of different people than Romans, but it's actually Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And as far as I now know and can find out, it's not mentioned any other place except these two places, but by the same person under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, telling him what to write and to whom it should be written. And it's verse 6 of chapter 4 of Galatians, and it says, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, what does that word Abba mean? Abba, Father. Abba is a term of endearment, not familiarity now. You don't become familiar in that sense with God as you would with another friend, another human, or even a spouse. It's a friend, friendship of God, in the sense that Abraham, God called Abraham, the father of the faithful, he called him the friend of God. Now, why would God call us a friend in the case of Abraham? Moses spoke with God, the Bible says, face to face. He had that relationship with God the Father, and yet the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. But Moses was hidden in the cleft of a rock, and God passed by, and what happened? Moses was able to see, by God's grace, part of God's glory as God passed by, and Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock. Abraham spoke to God, the Bible says, face to face. So there was that intimate relationship that these two men had with God the Father. But now, not in the Old Testament, it wasn't called this in the Old Testament, but now the Apostle Paul, in both cases, in Galatians, writing to the Galatian Christians and the Roman Christians, he says, God is our Abba, Father. Now, what does that mean? Abba is a Hebrew term, as far as I'm told. I don't speak Hebrew, so I don't really know. But I was told that it's a term of endearment. Now, that's a special privilege that we have. No one else can have it, except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that a lot of Christians get depressed. They can. They've told me. They say, I'm depressed. Well, I used to be depressed. But my depression was actually because I thought God hated me. Before I was saved, I thought God hated me. Look at the sins I'm doing. I was convicted of sin before I ever heard the gospel. Nobody had to tell me I was a sinner. No, maybe you had the same experience before you were saved. And maybe sometimes we get down on ourselves after we're saved, and we think that we're sinners, and God doesn't like me anymore, and things like that. I mean, it does happen. People have told me that it has happened. They said, can I be restored unto God? I says, one man came to me in my home. Charlene was there. He came with a bunch of his relatives, and they were planning the funeral of his father, and he asked me to speak at the funeral. And the man's son, one of them, said to me privately, he took me into the pantry, can we talk privately? I said, all right. So we had a butler's pantry, and so we went into the pantry, and he told me, he says, I'm sorry for my sins. He was a believer. He said, I'm so sorry. We're going to bury my dad. And he says, I'm not right with God. I'm so sorry, and I'm depressed about it. And I said, listen. He says, you're already back with God. You're already right with God. He said, I am? I said, you are. The very fact, the Bible says if we confess our sins, and he did, he confessed them to me, he confessed them to God already. And I said, you're already back. He was happy after that. I said, if we confess our sins, the Bible says, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That man had already come back to God, but he didn't know his Bible very well. And he came back. You know what God says in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe I'm talking to someone who is grieving over their sin. It's possible to sit here and not come to Christ, and just kind of say, here's the thing. Remember now who God is. God is not like us. We're supposed to be like him, but God is not like us. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, and so on. God is different. God has already heard our last breath. God has already seen our last heartbeat, if you will. He knows. And when it's time to come home, he's going to call us home, and not before and not after, the right time is there. We trust on him to begin with for our life and for everything else. But we have to trust him day by day for who he is and what he has said. That's what this Abba, Father, is. It's a special relationship that we have as believers to God the Father. Now, my dad raised me, he's also my brother in Christ. Did you know that? If you have saved parents, they are your brother and sister as well as your parents. They are your brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to be with them in heaven. If you're saved, they're saved. We shall all be together in glory. And we shall all be crying unto God, Abba, Father. Now that is something that I don't see in the Old Testament. That special relationship is in the New Testament because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the Old Testament, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all active in the causing the scriptures to be written. The Bible says that holy men of God were inspired to write God's word and so on. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Elsewhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, it said the Holy Spirit was in them as they wrote, but they weren't indwelt by the Holy Spirit as we are. That's not in the Old Testament that I can see. If you can see where Old Testament saints were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, please let me know. I'd like to see it. I'm not an expert on the Bible. No one is. But I'd like to see that. If you can show it to me, I can't find it. But that's what happened. Now we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Since Pentecost, the Lord Jesus Christ said, not many days from now, you will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Pentecost, which was after the resurrection, of course, of our Lord Jesus and his ascension into heaven. So here's what it says here. In verse 15 of chapter 8 of Romans, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is a term of endearment, not familiarity. Some people will say, I'm going to go see the man in the sky, the big man in the sky, or some other thing like that, which is not really reverent, and I wouldn't do that if I was anybody that was talking about God. Don't do that. God is God, and we're not. The Lord Jesus Christ, he can call me his brother, and he does in the Bible. Did you know that? We're part of his brethren. But I can't call him my brother. Don't do that. That you're dancing, if you do, and I hear some Christians do it, not here, but elsewhere, if I say Jesus Christ is our older brother, I don't do that. It makes me uncomfortable I think a lot of Christians, some people might feel comfortable about that relationship to the point where they're going to call Jesus our big brother. No, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I think it's irreverent and it's dancing off into a bad place. Don't do it. Call him your Lord and your God, just like John did after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doubting Thomas. I said John. Doubting Thomas. Forgive me, I'm old. He said, my Lord and my God, and that's just who he is. He's our Lord and our God. But that relationship to God the Father that we have here, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now turn again to Galatians. Keep your finger in Romans, if you would, and turn to Galatians. Small book, wonderful book. Galatians chapter 4, again, in verse, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. And Paul is talking to the Galatians who had a problem of legalism. And sometimes we see that in some Christian circles where legalism is there and you must keep the law, keep the law, keep the law. But the law was never meant really to be kept, and God knew that we could not keep it. The Ten Commandments and so on. What happens when we see the Ten Commandments and we read them? In fact, all of God's Old Testament law, we find out that we fall far short of what we are supposed to do. And of course, that's a major guilt trip. When God says you're guilty, you know you're guilty. And you have to wonder about that, and you have to say, oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But here's the thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has done a wonderful work on Calvary. Everybody here, I believe, is saved. You say you're saved, I believe that. And I'm telling you as fellow believers that we have to come to Christ all the time, every day, for the washing of regeneration, which we have, and so on. That's in the Bible. But here's the thing that we do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and thank you, brother, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you. Now, that was a wonderful thing he did. Do you know that he's going to get a reward for that? The Lord Jesus Christ said that. A cup of cold water, and it's cold, and there's nothing floating in there. It's good water, right? A cup of cold water given in his name shall not lose their reward. You have to be practical when you're a Christian. You be practical. All those practical things, little things, that's what your life is made out of. A whole bunch of little things. Yes, Joe? Oh, well, you both share in that reward, you know. She made you do it, but you got up and did it, and you're the one that brought it up. So that's wonderful. And also, your parents, because both of you had good parents and still do, you know that reward just keeps on going, you know, all the way back. That's a different subject. I'm not getting off my subject. But I'll just say this. When you raise your children and your children love the Lord and they do things out of that love for other people, that blessing just keeps being multiplied. Now, some of us here are parents, and is there anything that you would not do for your children? Any good thing? You would not withhold any good thing from your children. You wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'm a parent. And I'm a grandparent, and so on. And it would just keep going. Now, God is the father of us all. And that's what Abba means. It's that relationship. See how I connected Abba with the other subject? You have to do that. God, with God's help. God helps me because he takes pity on me. He looks at me just like a father. I could go on. But just like a father, those of us here who are dads, anybody can be a father. Any guy that's normal can be a father, can father a child. But not everyone is a dad. Not every father is a dad. There's a big difference between being a dad and just a father. Now, God is the father of us all, the Bible says it, all of us that are saved. But He's also our dad. Abba, Father. It's that special relationship that you have, that I have, with God as our Abba. And what does he say? Listen to this. Watch this. And this same author, Paul, the apostle in Romans. Just watch. We're in Galatians. Stay there for a minute. He says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son." God has a Son, the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, not just saying, crying, yelling it out with pride. God ever look at you and say, "That's my boy"? I went to an old man in the nursing home one time. Anybody here remember Mr. Quittadamo? Oh, Robin does. Yeah, that's right. Robin, you're old too, like me. All right. Okay, I keep forgetting you're old. You seem young all the time. Okay, I'm old. I remember that I'm old. Yeah, but Mr. Quittadamo had a son named Frank. And Frank is older than I am. That shows how old Mr. Quittadamo was. He'd be over 100 years old if he was alive today, I know that. But he used to talk about his son. He'd say, "My boy Frankie. My boy Frankie." Frankie, his son, was a retired high school principal. And I met him. He's a nice man, good man, saved man, wonderful man. He'd say, "My boy Frankie." I expected to see somebody in short pants. No, he's older than I was when I finally met him. But I could see the love he had in his heart for his son, Frankie. My boy Frankie. He's always going to be his boy. How do you think God feels about you if you're saved? He's going to see you in Christ, and he's going to see Christ in you. I'm telling you. He does. He sees you in Christ and Christ in you. Now, I know that some people have difficulty seeing Christ in me. And some people have difficulty seeing me in Christ. That's because I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. And I'm certainly not perfect. We all have our moments, don't we? We all sin. Well, when God sees you, the relationship starts with Him. You're saved. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, and God sees you in Christ. And He sees Christ in you. Other people might have trouble seeing you in Christ, and might have trouble seeing Christ in you, but God never does. And what does it cause us to do? It causes us to cry. It says so right here, not just saying it, crying it. And in Romans chapter 8, it says the same thing. It's not just saying, "Abba, Father." It's causing us to cry out, "Abba, Father." Why does it say cry and not say? Because it's like water on dry ground. What God does is put the love of Christ into your hearts. And that's what we did here this morning. What were we doing this morning? We were worshiping God the Father through God the Son. Now, when God looks down on a congregation that does that, what is He feeling? God is a God of feeling. Yes, He does. He says so. He says so in His Word. He's a God that gets angry. He's a God has emotion. He's a God who really, three times in the Bible, in the New Testament, God calls down from heaven saying, in effect, He said different things at those three different times, but in effect, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Even if nobody else in the whole world could recognize what was the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father could not restrain Himself from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." One on the Mount of Transfiguration, once when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and so on. And another time beside that, God spoke from heaven concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The day is going to come, if you're saved, when God welcomes you into His heaven. You're going to go and meet the Lord, or the Lord is going to come in the clouds, and we are going to go up and meet him in the air. You're not going to touch the ground at that time. The earth is cursed because of sin, and we have to live here in it until that time comes. But God is going to call us home. That's my point. He's going to call us home. And when you get home to heaven, what's that going to be like? Are you going to have to be bathed? No. Are you going to have to be put on, go to a beauty parlor or some kind of place where they have to straighten you up? And no. No. You're accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says that. You have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to enjoy. Listen, God wants us to enjoy being saved. Do you like being saved? Do you enjoy being saved? Are you happy in Christ? Do you tell other people about it? You should. That's why we're here. Why didn't God take us home as soon as we got saved? Why didn't he do that? How did you get saved? You heard it from somebody else, didn't you? You didn't wake up one day and say, well, I'm saved. No, it doesn't work that way. Other people have to tell us how to be saved. Other people have to give us the gospel, and that's what we do when we have our children. We teach our children. We're still teaching them in the Sunday school here. And I got saved in Michigan. I told you before, some of you, I got saved in Michigan. I had to get out of Massachusetts where I was. There weren't any Christians that I knew of. There were religious people. I was raised in a religious thing. All they told me was I was going to hell. They never told me how to get saved. They said, you're going to hell. He says, oh yeah, well, how do I get to heaven? And the man said, well, you be a good boy and you'll get to heaven. I says, I'm not a good boy. I'm never going to be a good boy. I tried it and I'm never going to be a good boy. And he said, well, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. No, I wouldn't. I would have died in my sins and I would have gone to hell. He didn't know the gospel. He could never tell me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You'll go to heaven. He didn't know it himself. How could he tell me? I was in the service. I was acting up, and a little guy there says, you're going to hell. There was a bunch of people. And he looked at me and he said, you're going, one person out of the bunch, he said, you're going to hell. I just looked at him. I said, I know I'm going to hell. How do you know I'm going to hell? You don't know me. He said, I can tell by the way you're acting. You ain't saved. I said, what is saved? I had never heard that before. And I was 21 years old. And he said, you come to my room and I will show you how to be saved. Oh, I went right to his room. After he was done, I could go to his room. He had a Bible. I said, you got a Bible? I had no idea. I never saw anybody with a Bible before. And he told me the way of salvation. First he started down the Roman road, we call it. I said, stop, stop, don't tell me that. He said, what? I said, I know I'm going to hell. I don't want to hear that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God and so on. I said, stop. Tell me how to get saved. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. I said, it's in the Bible. It has to be true. Because wherever the Bible is, you'll notice the first thing that ungodly people try to do is get rid of the Bible. People that want to enslave your soul, get rid of that Bible. Burn it. Get rid of it. Why? It's the Word of God. That's why. They don't want God. So what happened is I got saved. As soon as I saw it in print, I said, I'll do it. I was happy, happy, happy. I said, I'm going to go to church. I went right across, out of the barracks, across the street. There was the church, multi-denominational. You know what they used to do? They would wheel the Star of David out once a month. They had it on a pulley, the Star of David. Okay, that went down. When the Catholics came in, they would put a crucifix. They would do the pulley. Out came a crucifix. When the Protestants came in, they would put that out, and they were just a silver cross like that, no crucifix. It was multi-denominational. That's the way they did it. It's all right. But I went there, and there was no cross and no Star of David, but I went in anyway by myself. The door was always open. I went in, and I told God what I would do. I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. Thank you. Thank you. I will receive Jesus Christ. That's how I got saved. That's how I got saved, and God is, in his patience, has brought me along. Just like an Abba Father. Just like a dad with a little kid, little toddler maybe, or even a babe in arms. Feet can't even stand, hold them up. God was carrying me in his arms, and he will do the same thing for you. And I'm not talking about a second childhood. I'm talking about the relationship that God has with us. What God will do, he always regards you the same way. Did you know that? As one of his children. I could get into more. I've got 5 minutes, and I'm not going to go over. But I will say this. In this context, we have the spirit of adoption, especially in Galatians. Do you know that you're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ? You might have trouble making the rent. You might have trouble buying a car financially. You might have all kinds of problems health-wise, financially. Whatever your problems are, they're temporary. When you leave here, you come into your inheritance. Now, some people are waiting for somebody else to die so that they can get their inheritance. And you can have it here on the ground while you're still around on the ground. God works differently than that. You come in to your inheritance when you die and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you come into it. Not here. There's no inheritance tax. When you become in Christ, you know what the Bible says? You're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? When my parents died, they left whatever money they had left over. My mother finally passed into God's presence, and the lawyers had the will and everything, so I was joint heirs with my siblings. And we all got the same amount, joint heirs. That's what joint heir means. Well, do you know that you're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that you're going to reign with him as well as live with him? You're going to be with him. Why? The Bible says so. God has declared it, especially in Galatians, in Romans here. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that you're going to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what the Bible teaches. Do you know that we are going to judge angels? We were made a little lower than the angels. The Bible says in Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels. How could the Lord Jesus Christ be lower than the angels? I understand that I'm lower than the angels, but how can the Lord Jesus Christ be made lower than the angels? He took himself upon himself the form of a servant and a body that could be crucified, that could bleed and die, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Imagine the stoop that he took. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be what? Rich. Why be depressed? You don't have to be depressed. Some people are depressed. I understand that. There may be a physical cause for it. But for the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus Christ, he endured the cross, despising the shame, that we through his poverty might be rich. Do you know that you could be living in that hope? now, and you'll never be depressed. That's how to beat depression. There are certain types that can't be, I understand, as a physical cause for some depression. But most people are having a down day. You know what you do? You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I woke up this morning. I knew I was going to speak. And I said, I'm in no shape to speak. I can't do this. I just can't. And I asked God to help me, even before I got out of bed. I'm wide awake in bed, and I'm cold. And I don't mean physically cold. I was cold in my heart. I'm confessing it. I'm admitting it. I was cold in my heart. I can't do this. I can't worship this morning as I am. And I cried out, Abba, Father. That's what I did. He's right there. He's right there every time. Why? Because His Holy Spirit dwells within me. That's why He's there. He's just a call away. Just a call. When my kids were little, they knew how to get my attention, I'll tell you. They weren't very old. We had just brought them home from the hospital, both of them, one at a time. But both of them knew when they were little infants from the phone. I love kids. I'm crazy about them. But my little baby, 21 inches long, less than 10 pounds, knew how to get my attention. They cry. Every child does that. A child doesn't cry. It's not normal. Something's wrong. But the baby will cry, and you got your attention. You come running. Because if you don't, they're not going to stop crying. As soon as they pick them up, they stop crying, right? Most of the time, if they're not sick. Pick them up, and what happens? That bond is there. I'll tell you something, and I'm going to close. When my baby was born, my firstborn child, I picked her up. That's Rebecca. I picked her up. The first thing she did, she couldn't move her head, but she moved her eyes, and she's looking at me. They can't really see your eyes. All they can do is see the impression of your eyes, but they looked you right in the eye. Did you notice that? Newborn, try it sometime. Next time you get a chance to pick up a little baby, hold them up and see where they look. They'll look you right in the eye. Why? God put that in there. You're supposed to look at the Lord Jesus Christ that way. When you hear the gospel, God wants you to look into His face. You bow, yes, that's right. That's your attitude. But God wants that relationship with you and with me. Believe it or not, you might not even like yourself, but that's not how God feels about it. He wants that. You and me. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Let's close. Our Father, we are so grateful that You are Abba, Father to us. It cost Thee the blood of Thy Son. And we are happy that we are washed in that blood. We're saved. Father, help us to go on in that relationship with Thyself. That we, Father, would be Thy children in truth. That we'd seek Thy face because Thou art our Abba. And we want to be that way with Thee forever and ever. And it will be so. Regardless of our failure or our sin. Our sins have been washed away in the blood of Thy Son. And we are always going to be Thy children. And we're so happy to be in Christ. It moves us. And Father, it impels us through life. Help us, Father, to be faithful to Thee. Thou art so faithful unto us and to Thy Son. Help us, Father, in the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.